You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of John and chapter 13. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, thank you for thy word. Thank you for your saving grace. Thank you for your concern and involvement far beyond we can ask or think. So deal with us. We're looking to you, God. Take and strengthen, stir, stimulate the heart that we might honor you the better. We might appreciate you the more, and that we might rest in the awesome perfection of your saving grace. And our God, we're going to thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of the Gospel of John, he's in the upper room, as we've shared. He has taken the 12 and given them a very, very special opportunity, and he's going to talk to them and help them before he goes out to his crucifixion, just hours away. And as he does that, singling out, he's giving them wonderful information they need to know in the light of his departure, in the light of their still going to be there. They're still going to be there. So now, and we share together in the process that Judas has gone out into the night. It is night, but now we share together in all of that. It's a darkness that is darker than dark, because it is the night, it is the hour of his crucifixion coming up. It is the hour, the darkest hour of all. Now, so Judas went out as we shared all of those things, and went out and did, it was going to do what he was going to do in betraying him. We shared together the glory, verse 31 and 32, that God, the Lord, understood very much his assignment to go to the cross, and it was a wonderful, wonderful opportunity for God to be glorified, and we spent some time understanding that so that you'd grab hold of the awesomeness. And we're going to do it just a little while, somewhere right around, not far from now, put that all together in a package so you see it. It's all about God's being God. It starts with God. It's God working out what he himself, and it ends up back to him. It's all about the Creator being the Creator and the creation responding and understanding in a more intelligent, understanding way of what the future is all about. It's all about forever knowing and understanding and enjoying the Creator, God. Now, having said that, the Lord's very much understanding. We shared all of that a little bit together. God is going to be glorified. The Father, verse 32, is going to be glorified. And we shared together that he was going to go away. And let me just pick up in verse 34 and 35. He reminded them after he told them, I'll read verse 33. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, I said to them, and I'm saying it to you, whether I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you. So you can't go where I'm going at the moment. You can't do that. Now, having said that little bit at the moment, picking up if I can, verse 34 and 35, he said a new commandment. I want you to understand the only way you can enter in to all of the benefits that lie ahead is to have a unique relationship to me. And therefore, in verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. Now, you stop there, people do, and that's, forget that. That doesn't work at all. Ah, but the next part, you don't want to read the first part without the second part. And therefore, as I have loved you, as I have loved you, that's all. So that qualifies, what do you mean? I want you to be loved. I want you to let me love you. I want to be loving you. I want the highest and best. That's myself, said God. I want you to know me, and I'm going to love you to that end. That's the bestest, mostest, all that you could ever have, is to know me and honor me. I want you to love me. When you love me, you will love my person, my will, my plan, my son, and all that I'm doing. You will then love one another, not with some mushy stuff, with a real understanding of your unity. You're part of me. I'm loving you, and therefore you have a wonderful relationship called life. You're all knowing my love. You're all knowing my life. You're all enjoying my righteousness. So when people look at you, they're going to know about me. Thus, verse 35, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. So it isn't some little thing we shake hands and hug. No, it's more than that. It's wonderfully more than that. It's about a life. Same life, same pulse beating. God's wonderful love. Now, having said that, Peter didn't catch that. None of them caught that. They didn't catch that. The 11. Judas is gone. They didn't catch it. We shared last time together that which is missing here, but Luke adds to it, that the Lord Jesus Christ took time to tell Peter and to them, to all of them, but to Peter singled out, that Satan desired to sift you as a sieve to get the wheat to chaff, and we shared all of that together, and Satan's going to do that to you. But Peter, did you hear that? Did the rest of you hear that? No, you didn't hear verse 34 and 35. You didn't catch that because you weren't ready yet. You didn't catch the fact that Satan is going to do something, not just to Judas, but he's going to do it to you guys. Are you catching that? No, they aren't catching it. And we wanted to share that and understand in the outflow of the event in the upper room. So now we're going to go right after the Lord said that. Now we're going to go to verse 36. And Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Now, Peter, you didn't bring up what? The fact that Satan is going to sift you. And you're going to fall down. And when you get up, I want you to strengthen the brethren, etc. Did you catch that? You don't even talk about that, Peter. No, you didn't even, went right past him. It's easy to do with things. Peter's locked on to what? Verse 33. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whether I go, you cannot come, so now I say to you. So Peter, what did you lock onto in that whole atmosphere? You locked onto the fact that Jesus Christ was going somewhere and he and they could not follow. That's what he locked onto. That's the context of his mind. You want to get Peter's mind, where he's going. Now, having said that, in verse 36, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Where are you going? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. You can't do it now. You have to do it later. Now, in order to catch the movement of this, if you were with them for 3 1/3 years, you certainly have gonna picked up all this in little bit pieces stuck in your mind, and Peter is caught, as we'll see now in following. Over, if you would, to pick up the flavor of that, over in your Bible to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. And may I pick up, please, in the initial, our Lord, Peter and all of those were fishermen, tax collectors, and different things. And in the process, what did the Lord was just walk by with fishing, where they were fixing their nets, etc. Chapter 4, picking up verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Now you have to understand, here they are fishing, that's their income, that's their job, and they just drop the net, as it were. Fish or no fish, drop the net, and off they go. Are you going to say goodbye to anyone? Are you going to fill out anything? No, we're just going to drop the net and go. Now that's pretty awesome for the Lord. He just, so they knew something. This one is not like any other. And they followed him. And you would too, perhaps. God, maybe. Not all did. God, when you say something, wow, you step out of the crowd. Wow. Now, having said that, now what did they hear over and over? Over to John chapter 8. The Gospel of John and chapter 8. And if I can, picking up in thought, in verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So are they listening? And are the crowds listening? They that follow me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Well, okay, I got that. Follow him. They're following him, and he keeps saying it to the every time in the messages. He's saying it to the crowd, and they're picking it up over and over again because they left their nets and followed him. And he keeps saying, follow me, and you'll have thus and thus and thus. Chapter 10. Chapter 10, if I can, and in verse 4, perhaps. And when, remember the shepherd, he's the good shepherd, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. So they follow. In verse 27, putting application, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. How do you know they're believers? They're following. When you look at them, you'll find the Lord. When the believers are believers, they're going to find God with them. They're real believers. You talk to them, there's God. They're saved. Wow. You're going to pick it up somehow, maybe. Now, over, if you would please, to chapter 12. And chapter 12, again, most wonderful statement. Verse 26. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. And so, we're obligated. That's right. We're following you. We want to serve you. We want to honor you. We want to honor God. So they're following. And they hear it again and again. They're sticking with it all the way. The 11, all the way. 3 1/3 years, all the way. Chapter 13. Chapter 13, So on the upper room, he says, Peter says, understandably, why can't we, I follow you. Why can't I follow you? Whither you're going. And the Lord Jesus said in answer, you'll follow me later. You'll follow me later. Wow. What about later? Well, I don't, but, we'll see in a minute. In the process, Peter wants right now. In fact, the little pronoun now, N-O-W, adverb, that little word, now. In other words, he said, I'm ready to go. Wherever you go right now, I'm going. Wow, a commitment. That's what he's saying, the little adverb. Now, in the process, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. And that is true, afterwards. He's going to follow him. Now, remember now, jumping ahead a little bit, hold your finger here and go to chapter 21. And chapter 21, Gospel of John, verse 18, about Peter after his resurrection. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou would. In other words, you did what you should, whatever you wanted. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldst not. Now you don't have to guess. The Lord said it. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. Now, follow me afterwards. You're going to go, Peter, after I'm gone. They're going to go and get you, and they're going to go and crucify you. You're going to follow me, but you can't follow me now. You'll follow me later. Now, I didn't say you weren't going to. You're just not going to do it right now. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, in verse 36, I'm going to follow thee now. And so in the process, chapter 13, verse 37. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now, right now? I will lay down my life for thee, for thy sake. I'm going to follow you right now. That's what I'm going to do. So that's what I want. I'm committed. I'm ready to go. I'm ready. Now, remember now in the process, Peter is his personality. Not, he's very confident, very sincere. He's impulsive. He's impetuous. He speaks and then he has to think about what he said afterwards. He does all of that. Peter, that's why he's up front, because he's there. You gotta have something to work with. What's the personality? You gotta have the personality to work with, and Peter has it. That's on the day of Pentecost. He's the one that is the spokesman on the day of Pentecost. Now, having said that a little bit, Peter, verse 37, wants to know. He has a wonderful commitment. Now, remember now, he's very confident, and they're all confident. And remember, we share together in the process when the Lord Jesus said, someone's going to betray me, just a few minutes earlier, as it were, and someone's going to betray me. And then, of course, that was Judas. But Judas and all of them said, is it me? Is it me? They all understood it could be them, including Peter. All of them knew it could be them. Could be me. Wow. They were conscious of that. Wow. That it could be that they would quit. They would back off. They'd disappear. That's right. Now, having said that little bit, over, if you would, to the Gospel of Mark. Gospel of Mark and chapter 14. And you would recall in the account, Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, each of them have the account, and the window to look through to see it. Mark chapter 14, verse 29. Peter said unto him, Although all men shall stumble, yet will not I. I'm not going to do it. Jesus said unto him, Verily, verily, say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crows twice, thou shalt deny me three times. Now you're going to do that. Now he said, I'm going to hang in there, God, but that isn't going to be quite true, because he can't hang in there. But he's going to try to think he can. Verse 31. But he spake the more vehemently, more abundantly, over and above, beyond. He went beyond. He went over and above saying it. He made it emphatic. Absolutely. Verse 31. More vehemently. If it's necessary that I'm going to have to die, I will not deny thee, I myself will not deny thee in any wise. And then you note the next five words, likewise also said they all. We all said, is it I? And then, lo and behold, I'll die. I won't deny. And they all agreed. They're all there. Peter's speaking, and that's true, Lord. And they're there. That's awesome. Wow. Now, having said that little bit, the disciples did not grasp the darkness. They did not understand the hour. They didn't understand. And so, as we share together, we're all going to die and whatever. And we die or deny. We aren't going to do that, I should say. Now, and thus, leaving, as Judas went out into the night, and they're still in the upper room, sitting there, saying this, they're all going to go out into the night. The night is awfully, awfully dark. The darkest night in human history. The darkest night ever. God is light, and in him is no darkness. And on that night, it becomes the darkest of all. Because light forsakes our Lord, leaving him in darkness. In his perfect humanity. Wow. The darkest night of all. Now, here they are, looking. And Peter's there, as you know. And Peter's going to go. And that we just read, you might as well go back over to, if you would, to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. And picking up, if I may, verse 37 again. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? Why can't I do that now? Now keep in mind, now, right now, I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Will you really do that? My sake, for, F-O-R, on behalf of me? Are you going to go on behalf of me and lay your life down? And that's what he said. Verily, verily, I say unto you, most assuredly, don't even question it, Peter, when I say verily, verily, I say unto you, unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me three times. So now, having said that, and they're going out into the night, in the upper room there, you sort of have a little bit of something, but they're going out into the night, the garden, etc., 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 and boy, things are different now. Boy, you thought everything was hunky-dory and everything. It isn't hunky-dory anymore. Nope, nope, everything has changed. Whatever was, you know, you could feel very, very good about, very, very good, but you know, in a moment you could get sick, very, very sick. What happened to the very, very good? In one moment of time, gone. Wow. Now, so here we are looking, and Peter's there, and Thomas, remember Thomas, we'll turn there just for a moment to remind you, John chapter 11, you'll remember when they crossed the Jordan back then, going, because they knew they were going to try to catch him and kill him, and Thomas, remember, without all that context, chapter 11, verse 16, then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, to all of them, let us also go. Why? Why are you going to cross the Jordan? That we may die with him. We understand. This is a losing thing. We're going over there. We have no army or anything. And we're going to go over there. And we're going to die. And so here they are in the upper room. And it's becoming, they're becoming very much aware that things aren't good at all. And all that we heard, remember 6 months ago, hold your finger here again, Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, picking up if I can. Chapter 16, verse 20. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. They aren't in the place yet. They're going to talk about him, but not as God. You don't know me yet. You think you know me. You think you know me, but you don't know me. So if you're going to talk about Jesus, and he does this and does that, and he says this, but you don't know who I am. So you aren't communicating properly. I'm God, not a man. I'm God, the man Christ Jesus. So now, here, verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem to suffer many things of the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Now you told them all this. 6 months, you've been telling him it over and over and over. Is anyone listening to you, Lord? Is anyone paying attention to what's going to happen? No, we don't listen to. We only hear what we want to hear. Isn't that true? Even this message, there'll be things you want to hear and things you don't want to hear. And when you go out, you will not know. Unless you heard it again, you'd say, well, I never heard that. But it was said, you didn't want to hear it. You just didn't want to hear that. We shut it off, just like that. That's what we do. That's how we hear things. We hear what we want to hear when we want to hear it. Now, so that's us, our human nature. So here's Peter, back over to John, chapter 13. Here's Peter, and Peter vehemently, very much, is not going to deny him in any way, shape, or form, and he's not going to do that. Now, Peter, you're going to go. Now, remember it says now, you're going to deny me, say no, disown me, reject me, leave me alone, disappear. You're all going to disappear. That's what you're going to do. You're going to say that you're all going to do that. That's right. That's what they did. Wow. More or less. Now, in the process, now, what does that do? We're jumping ahead. Peter, remember, it's going to be cold, a little cool at that time of year. And out the door, into the night. And it was cold. But you know, the heart of Judas was dead. He had no interest at all. The Lord had had no interest in any of it. It all didn't never happened like he wanted it to, that he'd be the secretary of the treasury or something. It never happened. His kingdom, the king, disappeared. But for Peter, he went out into the cold and denied. He literally, outwardly said he denied. I don't know him. Now put that together a little bit. What do you know about the end of the church age? We'll turn there. We'll just hold your finger here. Revelation. And Revelation, if you would, in chapter 3. I'm interested in our age in which we live, the day in which we live. So here's Peter and the disciples going out, and it looks like it's all over. Wow. Chapter 3, Laodicea, as you know, chapter 3, picking up in verse 14. And unto the angel, the messenger of the church of the Laodiceans, write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. What are you saying, Lord? I know thy works, that's in our day, church age now, that thou art neither cold and Laodicea. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now, Peter, you guys are all cold. What's the thing about cold? Well, cold, on your faucet, most faucets, do they have a lukewarm? Doesn't the faucet have a hot and a cold, not a lukewarm? The cold faucet knows the hot faucet right next to it. And the hot faucet knows the cold faucet right next to it. So it's very conscious. The lukewarm faucet doesn't care. It doesn't care. I would rather have you cold. The devil, the angels, the bad guys and the good guys, they understand who I am. Straight out. Lukewarm, you don't understand. And you're trying to play the middle ground, trying to play a nice guy, a nice girl. We're trying to be nice to everybody, trying to be able to do it. I hate lukewarmness. It's an abomination to me. It makes me throw up. Makes me throw up. I'd rather have you cold. At least you know why you're cold, because you're rejecting the hot. You're rejecting me. That's clear. We got something going that can work with. But lukewarm, we can't do anything. We throw it out. Lukewarm. I wish you were hot. I wish you were cold. But not lukewarm. Either be for me or against me. Don't be in the middle. Don't be in the middle. You remember that little story? You know all these things. The guy in the Civil War was down in Maryland or somewhere, the Mason-Dixon line or whatever it was. And in the process, he didn't want to be this, he didn't want to be that, so he wore a Union jacket or something and Confederate pants and was going to be neutral. Neutral, and of course they came, and the Confederate, and the Union shot the top and the Confederate shot the bottom. So he got hit top and bottom by both of them. Because he was trying to serve both. What's wrong with being neutral? It's not what it's about. What happens if you've got a neutral battery in your car? What do you think of a neutral battery? What do you think about neutral electricity? It won't work. It doesn't work. Hot or cold? Which is it? Got to be one or the other. That's all. That's what I'm looking for. Now, having said that, having that in front of us, if I can, and God help us with that, because that's what people want to be. They don't want to be involved. They don't want to get into the battle. where the thick and the thin of it is. So therefore, Peter, what's happening? You're counting on Peter being Peter. You're very confident in Peter. I am, said Peter. Have you made your life work? I am. I left my fishing nets. I've been following. I have my different things, but I'm following, and I'm going to follow all the way. If he dies, I'm going to die with him. If he goes to prison, I'm going to go to prison with him. But I'm going to go. I'm not going to deny. I'm not going to back off. I'm not going to do any of that. So now, having said that little bit, thus, Peter, you're going to go, and you're trusting Peter with a boy sincere as can be. That's your intentions are wonderfully good, but they don't work. You are trying to do something in the flesh that is impossible. No flesh shall want glory in my presence. I condemned it all on Calvary's cross. You don't understand. You're bringing yourself to me. I crucified you. I don't need you. You need me. You need to be saved. You need to have a changed life. We said it again and again. Reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God in Christ. Please don't bring yourself. Your feelings, your fears, your faults. And we caught up in them. We're caught up in them. Peter, you're caught up in yourself. And so are the others. But Peter, you're the spokesman. And you're out there doing and saying, and therefore we're all committed. We're all care. But it won't work. It won't work. It won't work at all. So now, as we share together in verse 37, so verse 38. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock will not crow till thou hast denied me three times. Now remember now, the cock, the rooster. If you looked up the word in the English Bible, cock, old English, words change, remember. Words evolve and change. But if you go back yesterday, the word cock means a crowing, a rooster crowing at sunrise. That's what it meant. A rooster crowing at sunrise. The word that is found in your Bible right here, the word cock, what is that? Well, that's where the word, it means a negative, little negative, and then the dawning, the breaking of the day, not the breaking of the day. The rooster crows just before dawn. Now, Mark will say two crowings, but remember now, even in the dictionary, English, they recognize. The crowing little after midnight, everyone's gone night-night. So they don't pay attention to the rooster crowing then? No. But at sunrise, before dawn, they're all there, looking. Wait, it's time to get up, time to go to work for most of them, and to get ready. Wow. Remember, they would have gone to bed early. They didn't have lighting and all of that stuff. So here they are, and they get up. And what's the rooster? The rooster was their alarm clock. They didn't need it. And by the way, you need to know, some will say, well, the Israelites didn't believe in chickens in Jerusalem. That's true because of the flies and stuff that would fall on the meat sacrifices and contaminate, so they were not allowed to have chickens in a chicken coop in Jerusalem. But the Romans didn't care, and the others didn't care, so they were there. The roosters are there. They're crowing. Before the cock, the rooster will crow three times. He'll crow once, twice. Before he does the third one, you will have denied me three times. Three times. You will have done that. No! Yes, you will. You will fall and fail. you can count on it, verily, verily. But be of good cheer. It isn't about you, Peter. And you aren't like Judas. Judas is something else, Judas is. Judas is finished. He's going out and hang himself. He's done. But you guys, Peter, you're going to weep something when you see what you did. You say, I don't believe I just said that. And it's going to happen. And you say, you'd never say anything. People say a lot of dumb things and do a lot of dumb things. That's because we're like Peter's. We're in the flesh. We do. It's our human nature. God said human nature isn't going to succeed. Where I'm going, you can't follow me. I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to die on the cross. I am the sinless Son of God, he said. You are sinners. You can't die. You'd have to have someone pay for your own sin. I'm going to die. You can't go with me. I'm the only God and the only Savior and the only one that can do it. I'm the sinless Son of God. I can do it. Afterwards, you can do it. Afterwards, I'll make it possible for you to discover, hopefully tonight, Lord willing, if it tarries the Lord. Wow. You'll discover it, Peter. And that's why in the day of Pentecost, Peter spoke so powerfully. Wow. God, you change us. Because it isn't us. It isn't us little people. It's you, God. It's you. Yeah. It's our relationship to you. So therefore, Peter, be of good cheer, and then you're going to hit, as you know, the Lord said, are you going to answer it? No, you're not going to tell him. Man. I'm telling you, Peter, look ahead. We share that, didn't we, with hope? Look ahead. You're trying to look 3 feet in front of you, where you're going to deny yourself. I want you to see where it's going to lead you. In my Father's house are many abiding places. You're going to be there. I want you to have that in front of you so you can go through the trauma of abandoning me, denying me, and repenting something fierce and changing your life. You're going from cold to hot. Wonderful. Isn't it wonderful to be hot? Fire. That's what Timothy, Paul said to Timothy. I want you to be on fire. Rome is burning. Nero's lit it up. You be lit up. You be hotter, Timothy, in your heart than the fire is in Rome. Wow. That's what you want. It is. It is the way it works. So therefore, over to Peter. First Peter, if I may, picking up a thought. Here's Peter going to give two wonderful letters to people in great persecution. Great problems are there. But Peter is going to go and honor and be a help to us. So, therefore, Peter, what are you going to tell us? Verse 3, 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively living hope, how so? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance. What's the hope? The hope is to an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. It's waiting for you. Think of Sunday school with the anointing and the sealing. And all sealing of the Spirit of God's ministry. Wow. Now, therefore, verse 5, we are who are kept by the power of God, that's how you made it, Peter, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, ye greatly rejoice. Though now, for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, trials, tests, being put to the proof. Boy, it's hard, Peter, you're going to flunk and fall and fall and fall and fall down. You can't fall any further. But Peter, when you fall down, look up and get up. When you fall down, look up and get up. Get back on your feet and go down the corridor of time correctly. That's what to do. Well, don't wait for anyone. Do you wait for your loved ones, family, friends? I'm telling you, you won't make it. I guarantee it. Won't make it. You caught up. You look at God, the only way you survive. That's your old nature and mine. And our old natures are bucking each other, bucking ourselves and bucking each other's in all of it. And we're trying to make all of that come out right. Christ Christ said, no, no, no. Peter, you're not going to make it. But Peter's determined. Peter feels good. Peter's strong about it. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. No, you're dead. By that I mean it's not going to work. The Lord Jesus will say it just a little bit later. I am the vine, ye the branches. Without me, remember, John 15:5. Without me, what? You can do how much? Nothing. I'm trying to tell you, Peter, you have to learn it. You have to learn it because our old nature, we try to do everything. I'm going to preach for God. I'm going to read for God. I'm going to sing for God. I'm going to do all these things for God. And it sounds good. It looks good. And that's why religion gets all the adherence to go to the nth degree in suicidal bombings. Why? For God. Not for good. Not for God, because you're caught in the system. And you're trying to say, show your devotion, to show your concern. No, you don't. No, no, no. No, God, it isn't my concern, God. It's yours. It's yours. We said it in Sunday school, I hope. It's yours, God. Therefore, Peter, you're going to say what? The trial of your faith, you know, I'll close with that. Verse 7, the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found. In other words, you found, Peter, that in your heart, you're really, you're going to hang in there. You're going to hang in there and follow him. Yes, I am. I may fall flat, but I'm not going to stay there. And Peter, you saw it, and it irked you. It made you sorrow, gave you a godly sorrow that makes for repentance. Therefore, at the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, believing the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. God, that's Peter. Who's saying that? That's Peter. That's Peter. Peter said, listen, whatever trouble you're in, I know all about trouble, said Peter. I know all about it. But I want you to know, it isn't about my stupidity. It's about God's wonderful grace. He gave me a living hope. He gave me an awesome future. And in the trial and test, that's how I got educated. That's how I learned about myself. How did you learn about yourself? By thinking I could do this and be that. And it really never worked out at all. God, it's all about you. And why does it take so long for us, God, to get so educated before we ever get a handle on it? It isn't about anything about us. It's all about you. It was at the beginning. It's at the end. And you enjoy it. God said, listen, you can't, remember the little illustration, you can't lift the rock. Remember the little boy with the rock wall and the father's building, the old-fashioned rock wall, and the father had the bar to leverage to move the rocks. And the little, it was sitting down, taking a break, and the little boy grabbed the bar and hung in the bar and swung in the bar and did everything. And the rock never moved. And the father kept saying, you aren't trying your best. You're not doing your best. You're not doing your best. And the little boy got so frustrated, he said, I'm doing my best. And the father said, no, you're not. All you had to do was ask me, and I would have put my hands around your hands, and we would move the bar, and we would move the rock, just like that. You can't be Beethoven. Beethoven? Michelangelo? Would you like to be? It depends what you like, painting or sculpturing or whatever, and you got it. Wow. You know what? You can't be. Can you? But if Beethoven could step into your mind and into your heart, couldn't you do what he does? Absolutely. God said, listen, Beethoven, you can't have, but you can have me. And I'll step into your life. I will be your life. And what you can't do, you will now do. I can do all things, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through what? Through Christ, which strengthens me. You have to learn it. I hope you got a little bit. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts, and thank you very much for caring. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your grace. Spirit of God, Father, thanks a lot. In Christ's name, amen.